Unrest in the Middle East. The economic crisis in Europe. Iran threatens Israel. The moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
One of the prophets made the statement that the trumpet would be blown, but no one would respond to that trumpet. Of course, I'm reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 17, that the nation would not respond to the warnings from God. Now, that's a frightening prospect. But here in the United States, people's minds today are so dulled by materialism, so dulled by entertainment and distraction, that very few people pay any attention to the warnings from God. And even in the churches, very few people read books such as the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, or Malachi. But did you realize that a storm is coming, the likes of which God says that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation? Now that quotation comes from the book of Daniel chapter 12. And let me be crystal clear here. Prophecy is not given to satisfy our curiosity about the future. Prophecy is not some form of entertainment. It's given so that we'll understand the future as it happens, so that we will see God's hand in the events that take place. But primarily, prophecy is given as a warning to us to change our ways, to avoid the dire prophecies that are given. Prophecy should motivate us toward repentance. And I'm talking about people who attend church. Those of us who attend church still need to live a life of change and repentance. Now, in today's broadcast, we're going to be talking about prophecy and the Middle East. We're going to be talking specifically about the country of Turkey and prophecy. Now, Turkey is a Sunni nation of 80 million people, and it boasts the second biggest army in the Middle East. But today, Turkey has found itself once again in the midst of great unrest, and the country faces significant militant threats within its own borders and also on its borders. And at the same time, Turkey is enduring instability and declining tourism that jeopardizes its economy. Now, while Turkey's military undergoes a massive reorganization, the country must contend with a hostile government in neighboring Syria. Now, remember, God gives us various prophecies concerning the Middle East. He talks about this modern-day nation we call Turkey. So if God's talking about the nation of Turkey, I want to pay attention to these prophecies. I never want to think that these prophecies have nothing to do with me or the United States. Such thinking is naive. Now, Turkey has to deal with the threat from ISIS. Also, remember that the July 15th coup attempt in Turkey and its aftermath have strained Turkey's relationship with NATO. Turkey is more unstable than it was 2 months ago. But why is Turkey so important? Why am I even spending any time talking about this nation of Turkey? Well, Turkey is one of the most geographically strategic countries in the world today, a potentially lethal bridge between continents. Istanbul, the city of Istanbul in Turkey, is the only city in the world that connects two continents. Now, the city of Istanbul, which is located in both Asia and Europe, connects these continents. Also, Turkey has been called the world's island. Turkey is a central meeting point of three continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. Remember, Turkey is connected to Africa in a way via the Mediterranean Sea. Now, Turkey over the centuries was used as the passageway for invaders, both going from west to east and east to west. Turkey's going to play a very important role in end-time Middle East events. Now, to Turkey's south, you find Syria, Iraq, and Iran. On its east lies Armenia, Georgia, and Azerbaijan. These were former Russian satellite nations. To the west, Turkey borders Greece and Bulgaria, European Union nations. Now, Turkey connects to the Mediterranean Sea, the Black and Aegean Seas, and it also overlooks the all-important Bosporus and Dardanelles sea gates. Remember, those sea gates link Central Asia to the Mediterranean, and a world held hostage by energy needs. Turkey's interconnection location translates into a crucial energy transit hub for Europe, Iran, and Russia. So just think of Turkey as a nexus, an energy hub for Europe, Iran, and Russia. Turkey, remember, is an economic power, and it views the Middle East as its sphere of influence. It's not going to brook any country, whether that be Iran or Saudi Arabia, from encroaching on its territory or agenda. Now, Turkey, like Iran, is a non-Arab power. So Turkey's quite a bit different than, let's say, Egypt or Saudi Arabia. They're a different people. Remember, Turkey is hostile toward the Kurds, and Turkey doesn't trust the Iranians. Remember, the Iranians are Shiite, and Turkey is Sunni when it comes to their religious practice. Now, Turkey does not like Iran, but it is somewhat dependent upon Iran for its energy needs. Remember that Turkey imports 26% of its oil from Iran. It's also one of the biggest markets for Iranian natural gas. Now, Turkey and Iran, to be quite blunt, are enemies. They are enemies that are, at the same time, strange bedfellows because they need one another economically. What makes Turkey so important right now, however, is the relationship with the European Union. Let me circle around this point again. It's very important if you missed it. Turkey is very important right now because of its relationship with the European Union. So let me explain why Turkey is so crucial to what takes place on the European continent. Now, the European Union reached a deal with Turkey back in March of this year, and it is Europe's key mechanism for reducing the flow of refugees into the European bloc. Basically, under the deal, these migrants from the Middle East arriving in Greece are now expected to be sent back to Turkey. So you don't have the massive flow of migrants coming from Syria and from Iraq. They aren't able to get into these various European cities now. They're held in check. They're held in Turkey. And Turkey receives about $4 billion every year from the European Union under this understanding that so many of these migrants who are trying to get to Europe will remain in Turkey. So Turkey has to take care of these migrants. It's also understood by way of this agreement with the European Union that Turkish citizens will be able to travel in various European Union nations without having to have a visa. This idea of a visa-free travel for Turkish citizens has made many Europeans very angry. Now, to be blunt, I have to be direct here, just so you can understand the situation. Most Europeans, they don't want to see Turkish citizens visiting European cities. Remember, Turkey is a Muslim nation. It's predominantly a Sunni Muslim nation. And they don't want to see any more Muslims being able to visit European cities. Essentially, many Europeans are afraid of Muslim Turks. And remember, in Germany, the nation of Germany, a nation of about 82 million people, there are about 4 million Turkish Muslims who live in Germany. And we know in Germany that the tension between Muslim Turks in the nation of Germany and the average German citizen, that tensions are rising there. So essentially, Europeans, including Germans, they don't want any more Muslims to be able to enter into these European cities. Well, now there's tension between the EU. We're talking about the European Union. Remember, this is the 27 member nations of the European Union. There's a tension building between the EU member states and Turkey because it seems that the European Union is now dragging its feet and may put a stop to visa-free travel from Turkey by Turkish citizens into European Union cities. Now, none of this bodes well for regional stability. Basically, what has happened is that Mr. Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, has essentially hinted at or said that he would open the floodgates and drop what has been called a human bomb of refugees on Europe if the European Union does not allow Turkish citizens to visit various European Union countries without a visa. It's a visa question. The Turkish people want to be able to visit these European cities without a visa. many Europeans, they don't want that to take place. They want Turks to have a visa to enter into European cities. So this is a significant impasse. It's a real problem between Turkey and the rest of the European Union. And remember, this is very important. The European Union desperately needs Turkey to stem the flow of Middle Eastern refugees from entering into Europe. You're listening to broadcast number 135. We're talking about Turkey in Prophecy. This is program number 135. You can request it. We'll send it to you free. You need to phone us at that toll-free number, which is 1-877-449-6753. It's a toll-free call. As well, we'll send you our updated map of the Middle East. It's an updated map of the Middle East as it relates to biblical prophecy. Just ask for our Middle East map. It's a toll-free number. You can reach us at 1-877-449-6753. Now, the Middle East looks very different today than it did 10 years ago. And the largest foreign actor in the region of the Middle East is the United States. But America is moving away from its historical role as the primary military power in Middle Eastern conflicts. Instead, the United States' local partners, they are bearing the brunt of fighting while the United States provides support from afar. But at the same time, Washington is being very careful to ensure that no single country emerges as the dominant force in the Middle East. And to that end, the United States is attempting to strike a balance among Middle Eastern powers, limiting its support for one country over another country, while playing those that would strive for influence against one another. So America, in other words, is trying to maintain a balance of power in the Middle East. But the countries of the Middle East have their own plans, different from America's agenda. Now, the Islamic power struggle in the Middle East is intensifying, and three nations are competing to fill the vacuum that America is leaving in the region. So let me put it this way. In some ways, to some extent, you can say that America is withdrawing from the Middle East. Now, this is creating a power vacuum. And the question is, what nation is going to fulfill that vacuum? You have the nations of Turkey, Iran, and you have an alliance of Sunni Gulf states led by Saudi Arabia, and all of these nations are competing with one another to dominate the Middle East. Now, Iran's strategy is to strengthen its ties with the Middle East's predominantly Shiite states. That would include Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. Now, Iran has also leveraged its clout with the region's Shiite minorities, doing so to weaken its Sunni rivals, stoking protests among Shiite communities in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Now, I know this is a lot to digest. It can become very confusing. Look at it this way. The Middle East not only is violent, it is also a dangerous matrix of confusion, strange alliances, tribe against tribe, nation against nation, brother against brother. It's difficult to follow all this craziness. Now, Sunni Arab states have watched Iran's moves with growing nervousness, especially as Iran's relationship with the United States has improved. This is creating instability in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia, enemy to Iran, is seeking to expand its own influence in the Middle East to counter Iranian influence. For example, the Saudi kingdom has agreed to give more than $3 billion to Egypt in loans and grants. Also, Saudi Arabia recently has given $1.2 billion to the nation of Jordan. As well, Saudi Arabia has granted $5 billion to the Sudanese army. Now, remember the Sudanese army? It's a part of the nation of Sudan. Sudan resides in the continent of Africa. Meanwhile, Kuwait, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates collectively promised over $10 billion in aid to Egypt. So you can see there's a lot of positioning taking place in the Middle East right now, a lot of positioning that's going on here, alliances, secret meetings, assassinations, blood feuds. Welcome to the Middle East. Now try to keep this in mind. With the United States' recent pivot towards Iran, this has left Turkey in need of other allies that aim to stop Iran's grab for power in the Middle East. Now this is why the nation of Turkey is rekindling its ties with Israel. Now, despite having once been allies at various times, Turkey and Israel have been at odds with one another for nearly 10 years, but their chilly relationship may be on the verge of thawing. Now, the region's shifting realities are pushing Turkey and Israel towards reconciliation. Remember, both nations hate and fear Iran. And then there's the Islamic State. Now, Turkey's engagement with the Islamic State, this is going to be key, the key event that we're going to watch over the next 12 months in the Middle East. To what extent will Turkey engage the Islamic State? Now, Israel will continue to watch as Iran, Saudi Arabia, America, and Russia fight against the Islamic State. And Saudi Arabia is going to continue to test its strength without having to take undue risks. And then you have North Africa, which will continue to seethe as different jihadi groups struggle for preeminence on the continent of Africa, particularly in the northern parts of Africa. Now, we also expect to see an expansion of ISIS operations beyond the Arab world into parts of Africa and Asia. Now, let's get back to Turkey very quickly now. Let me quickly summarize what I've covered in today's message. Turkey is very significant for a number of reasons. First of all, it has a population of 80 million people. And remember that Turkey is a major gateway for Muslims to enter into Europe. You need to remember that. Turkey is a major gateway for Muslims to enter into Europe. There are nearly 4 million Turks living in the nation of Germany. Remember, Germany has a population of just over 82 million people. 4 million of those people residing in Germany are Turks. Turkey is one of the most geographically strategic countries in the world today, a potentially lethal bridge between the continents. Turkey has been called the world's island. It's a central meeting point of three continents: Asia, Europe, and Africa. Remember, Turkey is connected to Africa via the Mediterranean Sea. Now, we believe that many Turks are descended from Esau or Edom. Remember, Esau was often called in prophecy Edom. And we know from prophecy that Esau was the son of Isaac. Remember, Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And their people, their descendants, eventually became enemies. Now, Turkey wants to become part of the European Union. And Turkey wants its citizens to have the right to travel to European cities without having to obtain visas for travel in Europe. This is very important to Turkey. But European leaders really do not want Turkey to be part of their European Union. Remember, Europeans fear Islamic Turks. Turks are Sunni Muslims. Turkey also considers Russia an enemy because Russia supports Iran. Iran is Turkey's great enemy in the region. Now, speaking of Turkey's relationship with Russia, you also have to recall that Turkey is vulnerable to Russia because even though Turkey and Russia really don't like each other, Turkey is the second largest buyer of Russian natural gas. So Turkey is vulnerable because it relies on Russia for natural gas. Turkey is also a significant importer of Russian oil and metals. And Turkey is the largest buyer of Russian wheat and sunflower oil. So you always have to take a look at the underlying economic ties between nations. Even though they could be enemies politically, they often have ties economically. So a contentious relationship with Russia would bring enormous economic pain to the Turks. Now let's remember that the Middle East is a patchwork of nations that hate and distrust each other. So they hate and distrust each other on the one hand, but on the other hand, these nations need one another for economic or security reasons. And finally, I want to mention that Turkey is mending its relationship with Israel as I speak. Both Israel and Turkey hate and fear the Iranians. This brings them together, not as friends, but as practical allies because they need to thwart the Iranian agenda in the Middle East. And now to the question, what about the descendants of Esau at the time of the end? Well, history has proved that some of the descendants of Esau, some of them, not all of them, but some of them actually settled into the region of what we call Turkey today. And they became known as the Ottoman Empire, a cruel, brutal historical empire that was finally conquered by the British and Americans in 1917. I strongly encourage you to watch the movie Lawrence of Arabia with Peter O'Toole. It won Best Picture in 1962 at the Oscars. It's an outstanding movie that gives you a little bit of sense of the Ottoman Empire, the British, and the various Arab tribes in the Middle East in 1917 and 1918. Now, the Bible traces the roots of a vicious blood feud between Israel and the Palestinians going all the way back over 3,000 years ago. Now, God reveals there were two great sibling rivalries, and those rivalries impact us to this day. Remember, one of the rivalries was between Abraham's sons, Ishmael and Isaac. But there was another rivalry, and that was between Isaac's sons, Esau and Jacob. You can read about that in the book of Genesis chapter 25. Now remember, Ishmael was the father of many of the Arabs, while from Isaac through Jacob came the Israelite tribes. Now Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. They were twins by his wife Rebekah. Incredibly, before they were born, we're told in Genesis chapter 25 that these two boys struggled together within her womb. We're also told that two nations are in your womb, two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And again, that prophecy is in the book of Genesis chapter 25. Now, both the brothers, Esau and Jacob, were to become powerful nations. And remember that nations are families or tribes that have grown large. Now, the Bible records that Esau actually sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of lentil stew, showing that he viewed the birthright as a small thing. Sometime later, Jacob tricked his father Isaac into giving him the birthright blessing. And for this, once Esau found out what had taken place, we're told in the Bible, verse 41, that Esau hated Jacob. Now, the consequences of this hatred between the two sons, those consequences are with us to this day. The descendants of Esau, also called Edom, intermarried with Ishmael's descendants, and their bitterness and resentment against Jacob's descendants have intensified through the centuries. Now, Esau had a grandson, and his name was Amalek. I need to state that again because this is an important pivot point in the various prophecies that eventually have to do with Turkey. Remember that Esau had a grandson, and that grandson's name was Amalek. You can read of that in Genesis chapter 36 and verse 12. So Amalek was the father of the Amalekites, and the Amalekites became bitter rivals, bitter foes of the descendants of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. Now there's a prophecy about Amalek which foretold endless war between the Amalekites and the Israelites, war that would continue from generation to generation. You can read about that in the book of Exodus chapter 17. Now, some scholars believe that many of today's Palestinians are largely the descendants of the Amalekites. And we believe, and we also think that history proves this out, that various tribal clusters of the Amalekites exist at the time of the end. We know that to be true. And you can find those clusters not only within the borders of Israel, but you find Amalekites spread throughout the Middle East. You can find them in the nation of Turkey, also in the nation of Iraq, in the nation of Jordan, and believe it or not, you also find them dispersed in certain nations in Europe. Now, what we see in the Bible, and also according to history, for centuries, we see that the people of Edom acted maliciously against the Israelites, striking at them and encroaching on them. And the land of Edom, or Edomia, eventually encompass the southern half of Judea. But over time, many Edomites migrated away from the Holy Land region, and their descendants may be found among various Middle Eastern peoples today, scattered throughout the Middle East. But a number of the Edomites remained or returned to what is called the area of Israel. So much so that a prophecy in the book of Obadiah indicates that Edomites will be in possession of parts of the original land of Israel at the time of the end. Now, this would seem to indicate that they probably are well represented among the Palestinians of today. Now, I've also mentioned that there are many Edomites in the nation of Turkey. Now, Turkey can be identified by research in encyclopedias or various history books dealing with the subject of the descendants of Esau. Remember, one of the grandsons of Esau was Teman. You can read of that in Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, Teman became a great leader among the peoples. As the Edomites began to expand, portions of the land began to bear the name Teman. Much of the area, including Turkestan, became known as the land of Temani. So we find this ancient name, Temani or Teman, also within the expression of Ottoman or Ottoman, the Ottoman Empire. And of course, when we talk about the Ottoman Empire, we're talking about the Empire of the Turks. Now make sure to phone us at that toll-free number so you can receive your free map of the Middle East. It's a map covering the Middle East, and we go into detail regarding the various nations of the Middle East as they relate to biblical prophecy. You can reach us at 1-877-449-6753. It's a toll-free call. The number is 1-877-449-6753. Request your free copy of our Middle East map. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.